And tonight on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk about chemtrails. What in the world do they spray? Michael Murphy back on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll get right to it in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, journalist, filmmaker, activist Michael Murphy focuses on issues that go way beyond the interest of mainstream media, discussing chemtrails, also known as geoengineering programs. And we will get right into that with Michael. Always great to have you on the program, Michael. How have you been?
Hey, doing fantastic. Great to be back on. A lot of new things that we uncovered in the film that we just released, Why in the World Are They Spraying?
Which is the offshoot to What in the World, huh?
That's correct. That is correct.
I've been doing well, Michael. Things have been fine. Been busy. Been traveling a lot. Speaking engagements all around the country. So but it's worth it. It's fun. You know, I enjoy meeting our listeners face to face.
That's right. A lot of wonderful people out there.
Do you travel a lot?
You know, we have for the first film, and right now my calendar is booked. The response from we had our premiere on Saturday, and the film was also available on live stream. So thousands of people, if not more, around the world have a chance to see it. So my inbox has been flooded with requests to premiere this. So I'm going to be traveling quite a bit, I think, George.
When you came out with What in the World Do They Sprain, and now the offshoot, Why in the World Do They Sprain, tell me the differences, because they obviously flow into each other.
Well, the first film was a groundbreaker because it really tied the chemtrail issue, the trails that we're seeing, into the sky with the issue of geoengineering. And we focused on the main points of specifically what was being sprayed. And since we released that film, hundreds of rain tests have been coming in from around the world. They're all revealing toxic levels of what many are calling the chemtrail geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. So these metals match a number of geoengineering patents. They also match what geoengineers deny they're spraying, but state that they urgently want to spray. And what we see in the sky on a daily basis, in terms of these long trails that do not dissipate, they actually spread out and completely block the sun. That's a stated goal of geoengineers. So we now have an issue which is called global dimming. We have 20% less sun reaching the Earth than we did just a couple decades ago. So that's, again, a stated goal of geoengineers. So the impact, we had over 10 million people who had seen the first film, but the question was, why is this going on? And the answer to that question is there are many of different agendas associated with these programs. But we looked into this from the weather control aspect, and without question, these programs can and are being used to corporatize and control our weather. So aerosols are required to impact weather, to change weather, to create droughts and floods, and I hope that we get into...
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was going to bring that up, and we're going to get into it in a heavy way with you, but, right. You know, I was in St. Louis for 6 weeks, 105 degrees, drought in the Midwest, it rained very rarely. It was as strange as any condition I've been in, Michael, in years. Just very strange. Something.
Right, and our weather around the world now has been definitely impacted. There's no question about the statement I'm about to make. This summer's drought that we have here in the U.S. is engineered, and as we'll talk about tonight, there are certain corporations that literally make billions of dollars from disasters such as drought. Also a link into the genetically modified seeds that we now have taking over the food supply. So a lot of different reasons for it. But yeah, our weather is off balance all around the world.
Explain the difference between chemtrails and jet trails, which are also up there.
You're correct. And contrails, which is short for condensation trail, is a trail behind an airplane. And when an airplane flies at a certain elevation, usually above 30,000 feet where it's very cold, you will see condensation because the jet engine is very hot. Very similar to when we breathe in cold weather. So you will see a trail and usually dissipates within just a couple of seconds, sometimes depending on the level of moisture up at that elevation. You will see a trail last a little bit longer. But just like when you see somebody's breath in cold weather, you never see a trail several blocks or several miles behind that person. And that brings us to the issue of what many people are calling chemtrails. And chemtrails are chemical trails. They're trails that are actually sprayed out of airplanes for the stated goal of geoengineering the planet. So geoengineers have stated that they want to spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into our atmosphere from airplanes and via some other methods for what they say is the stated goal of cooling the planet. So these trails actually spread out, block the sun, create artificial clouds, and essentially cool the planet regionally in certain conditions. But now what we found that there are a number of studies that are now coming out which indicate while aluminum is very reflective, it will reflect the sun and temporarily regionally cool parts of the planet, but those aerosols actually act as a blanket at night, and they trap heat. So they actually exacerbate global warming. And we've, again, there are NASA studies and other credible universities, not that I always trust NASA, again, that have come out with these studies that indicate, again, that these will exacerbate global warming. We've seen great increase in nighttime highs in the past 10 to 15 years. Since these programs really seem to have been ramped up.
Michael, these tic-tac-toe patterns that we see that are obviously up there, are they primarily the result of chemtrails or contrails?
Definitely a result of chemtrails. We see patterns that are not typical over Hawaii, where I spend a lot of my time. We're beginning to see those on a regular basis. I've spoken to air traffic controllers who were actually very skeptical about geoengineering and the whole chemtrail issue until they started noticing patterns that were not normal flight patterns. In that region, of course, in Hawaii, you should not be getting trails on a daily basis. It's a tropical region, and it's much warmer air, even at the higher elevations. So what we see, again, on a regular basis are definitely aerosol trails, but we validated our claims by the test. And again, what we're finding in massive quantities now all around the world are massive amounts of primary ingredients in geoengineering programs, aluminum, barium, and strontium. So the fallout is there. The contamination is there. And it's very toxic to both human health and ecology. So we've seen just profound changes, again, in the past 10 to 15 years related this contamination issue.
Michael, what kind of planes do they use, and explain technically how they spray?
Well, a number of different planes. And I look back at for the new film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? You can go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com to see the trailer. But I looked through the geoengineering footage, and they were talking about retrofitting just about any jet. So we've seen KC-135 pictures of a number of different jets that have been sprayed. One area that we focused on in terms of the specific technology from airplanes, there are a number of disbursement methods now. Geoengineers have spoken about using boats to spray using flares, and now we see different disbursements over the ocean. We're not sure if it's via the flares or via the boats. What we do know is there is this, what many people are calling the smoking gun patent. It's called the Welsbach patent or the Hughes aircraft patent. And it was a device that was patented and designed to specifically spray the primary ingredients in geoengineering programs. They specifically mentioned aluminum oxide and other metals that would be dispersed again into our sky from airplanes and create these long trails, which would turn into artificial clouds. Again, that's what we're seeing everywhere, pretty much on a daily basis.
Is this countrywide primarily, or are there specific regions that seem to get more of this?
Well, we wish it was only in one region, but now this has been reported around the world. Only a couple of regions have stated that they haven't seen trails. One is China. Haven't heard any reports. The other are other parts in Africa and in those areas. But ironically enough, geoengineering and how it relates to weather control, and I think we're going to get into this tonight, It's very easy to modify weather several thousand miles away. You can spray, you know, over the U.S. and get a desired result, again, in a different country.
Wow.
Whether it's drought or floods. And we'll get into the detail of that, I'm hoping.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Because it's big in a big way. How did you get involved in this? Why this subject?
Oh, boy. It was definitely a calling. It wasn't something that a battle that I or I think any other person that's involved with this really wanted to get into. But I became concerned when I noticed that our skies were changing. And at the time, I lived in Arizona. And when I moved there back in the late 80s, we had deep blue skies, never a blemish. You know, we occasionally have a winter storm or a monsoon storm. But I left for a couple of years, and when I returned, I began noticing about 5 days out of the week, we had these high clouds. And somebody had told me about chemtrails, and they said that airplanes were spraying chemicals into the sky to create artificial clouds, and I thought they were completely crazy. It wasn't until somebody had pointed out a trail in the sky, and it turned into what I was recognizing on pretty much a daily basis. So I started researching the issue of chemtrails, but what really got me concerned, I went to, back in 2010, the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting, and it was a geoengineering conference. And we listened to geoengineers talk again about their plans and proposals of spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into our skies for the stated goal of cooling our planet. And they spoke about many of the consequences that would be associated with what they're calling stratospheric aerosol geoengineering programs, and now they're also calling it climate remediation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those consequences were destruction of our ozone. We now have a huge ozone hole over the northern hemisphere, disrupted rain patterns, which we have right now, drought was another consequence, and we'll explain why hopefully later in the broadcast. And we now have global drought over most regions in the drought. Changes in soil pH. And they were stating that these programs, if started, which they definitely have been started, could disrupt the food supply of over 2 billion people. Well, we're seeing that come to fruition right now. So I became concerned about it. I wrote an article called What in the World Are They Spraying? And I wasn't sure if it would get much attention, but it did.
It did. It sure did.
It did. It went around the world. It was translated into different languages. And from that that article, literally, people started sending me plane tickets. And they said, you know, if we get you up here, would you document this? And I wasn't a filmmaker. I was definitely an amateur, but I borrowed a friend's camera and started documenting what we were finding. Got in touch with some scientists and people who have been researching this and put together the first film, which was a groundbreaker. And we just released Why in the World Are They Spraying? The feedback has been phenomenal. We're expecting this to have tenfold of the impact because it's exactly, you know, we covered exactly what's happening right now this summer in terms of droughts, in terms of the genetic modification of natural crops, which we'll get into today. So it's really... I can humbly say it wasn't something that I meant to do. It was definitely a calling, George.
Tell me, Michael, about the locations, these airports, wherever they're filling up these planes, and the pilots. Tell me about the pilots.
Well, that's something that I have yet to investigate. So we did Why in the World, and right now everybody is asking, we need to get into specifics. So my third film that I think I'm getting called into is going to be Who in the Hell Spraying, and we're going to come
back. You've got to get these whistleblowers.
Right,
somehow.
We need whistleblowers, and that's really one of the reasons why I produced my film, you know, to reach out to people, but especially the people involved, because I think the pilots, I think, you know, we do have compartmentalization, so a lot of people involved with these programs probably are unaware of really what they're involved with, but there are some people who are very aware of what's going on, and this is speculation, but I really believe that what they're being told is that they're doing something that's good, and perhaps, you know, if they came out to the public, there could be public outrage or public concern with this. So we really need to reach out. I'm telling you, based on the research that we've done, there is no greater threat to our planet short of nuclear fallout. I can guarantee that. This is the issue.
That's frightening.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is.
It really, give me your definition now. You call chemtrails geoengineering. How come?
Well, geoengineering is a scientific name, and the term chemtrails, which I think is a good term, because they are chemical trails, have been effectively demonized through the corporate mainstream media. And if you go on NASA's website, it says chemtrails is a hoax, conspiracy theory. And it's been very effective when people look at that instead of researching, which is what we encourage people to do. A lot of people will turn away and just think, you know, it's nonsense. So geoengineering, you know, is a well-documented science. There have been a number of congressional hearings based on this. It's well-funded. There's a funding trail. Bill Gates is a funder, and there are a number of universities who are involved with this. And geoengineers are now calling for emergency geoengineering, actually wartime-scale geoengineering, and they're pushing to make these illegal programs legal so that they can start by the year of 2013. So again, we use both of the terms because we found that many people who were aware of the term chemtrails had no idea what geoengineering was and wouldn't be interested if that term was introduced. So we combined both and it was very effective. So now we have the scientific community, we have political officials at the county level addressing this and giving it the attention that it deserves.
What kind of response are you getting worldwide to this situation?
This movement has exploded quicker than I've seen any other movement. And so with that being said, it's been incredible. So since we released the first film, we used the film as an activism tool. So we had people, I provide my work for free on the internet, but we also sell the film. People that purchase my films actually we encourage them to make copies and hand out for free. So go to whyintheworldarethestraying.com and hit the streets. Go to your public officials. Hand this DVD out to your neighbors. In doing so, people have gotten active. They've hit the streets with this. They've brought this message out to their local officials. And I can use Maui as a wonderful example. And Maui is a smaller island, so I just decided to focus a lot of my time on that island.
I've got a studio on the Big Island.
Oh, you do? Hey, yeah. Right around the corner. We've done some work on the Big Island. And, George, it's not a bad place to go if you know what I'm talking about.
That's right. It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. So we focused on Maui, and we had a lot of screenings of the first film, and we actually met with the mayor's office, who, before they watched the film, they were very reluctant. You know, they had heard of chemtrails and thought it was conspiracy theory, but we brought the Royal Society report, which is a scientific paper on geoengineering, on foreign relations.
All right, hold on, Michael. We're going to hit this break, and we're going to come right back with you on Coast to Coast AM. Michael Murphy, our special guest, his latest work, Why in the World Are They Spraying?, with his part of what his other one was, What in the World Are They Spraying?. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast with filmmaker and journalist Michael Murphy. Michael, what would you like people to know by your work, Why in the World Are They Spraying? What's the message you'd like them to take with them?
Well, really the message that we're putting out is geoengineering is in part weather control. Through the use of weather control, we're having natural systems that are being corporatized. And essentially, through the destruction of weather control, they have the ability to create droughts in certain regions, floods in other regions. As a result, there are certain corporations that make a ton of money. There are individuals this summer here in America literally making billions of dollars from this year's drought. So geoengineers are selling these programs as something that that they don't want to do due to the catastrophic damaging results, including ozone destruction, weather patterns. Again, we discussed earlier the fact that it could disrupt the food supply of over 2 billion people, but they're stating that they might have to do this to save the planet. We looked into this. This is not about saving the planet from global warming. This is about a consolidation of an enormous amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of a few at the expense of every living thing on the planet.
Well, you know, it's yeoman's work. You've been doing it for a long time. How about criticism? Have you been attacked by people?
A little bit. You know, there's always going to be the people that work for the corporations that do not want these truths getting out. But for the most part, our work has been very well received. We put it out in a very, very basic way, in a very scientific way. So, you know, and especially in Why in the World Are They Spraying, we interviewed credible scientists, Dr. Nick Baggage. I know he's been a guest on your show many
times.
Yes,
quite a bit, yeah.
Mark McCandless, he worked for the defense industry for a number of years. And again, credible scientists. We interviewed a scientist, a professor from Colby College, Dr. Fleming, who explained the history of weather control and what it can do to the planet. And Scott Stevens, who I know was on Coast to Coast as well. He was a weatherman for 20 years, began studying this and how the trails relate to the controlling of our weather. So I learned a whole bunch. And again, it's been very, very well received. So we're expecting this message to really impact and revolutionize the environmental movement. There's no question about it. Again, there's been no greater threat to our planet than from these programs. We have a crisis on our hands, but George, we also have a great opportunity. And what I'm trying to do is activate people to A, get educated about this, B, address this issue, and then C, of course, get these programs stopped immediately.
Well, good luck on that, because you're running against a very tough industry. If indeed this is happening the way you say it, it could be tough. A lot of people, Michael, have had chronic coughs for months and months and months. They just don't seem to go away. Could this be part of the reason?
Oh, there's no question about it. And we've had respiratory mortality that has gone from number 8 down to number 3 in a 6-year period. After they spray these particulates into our sky, into our stratosphere, due to gravity, they come down into the air that we breathe. Every breath that we are breathing, we're sucking up heavy metals. Other things that people are finding, again, the primary ingredients of geoengineering programs, we found it in the rain, but there's been people now that had began taking blood tests. There was a group of over 20 people in Mojave County, Arizona, that tested their blood, and what they found, again, was this chemtrail geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. Many of them had levels that were extremely high in barium, which, again, is listed in a number of geoengineering patents, was a big concern because about 20 people out of that group that got their blood tested had levels of barium that were 1,000 times the elevated level, the level that was considered to be elevated. And again, barium reduces our immune system. It increases blood pressure. Aluminum is very toxic. Aluminum-related illnesses have been going through the roof. Alzheimer's is one. In Riverside County, we've had over 260% increase in Alzheimer's alone. We now have documented cases of dementia. People are reporting this in their 40s. And these are ultra-fine particles. So normally our body has defenses that will block essentially our bodies from taking in these toxins. But they're submicron particles. So they pass right through areas in our blood and areas in we have a blood-brain barrier, which they pass right through, and we're literally being affected in ways that are truly unquantifiable. So in terms of the health effects, again, we are seeing Alzheimer's, ADD, all kinds of illnesses related to particulate inhalation going through the roof. So it's a very serious issue that we're dealing with just from the human health implications with these programs. The ecological implications are devastating as well, so we're deeply concerned about that.
You know, it's interesting when people talk about man-made climate change, man-made global warming. I think if you can include the possibility of these chemtrails causing all these problems with the weather, then it is man-made, isn't it?
There is no question that man-made climate change is occurring. The question is who is doing it. And again, we looked at studies, one from NASA, and not that I necessarily, again, trust everything that NASA is putting out, and then a number of universities. that state that putting particulates into our sky or that indicate putting these particulates in our sky will actually warm the planet. Again, they act as a blanket and trap heat. Geoengineers are very open that their programs will disrupt weather patterns. And what they do, they create drought. So we have these particulates which are introduced into the sky, and they act as what's called cloud condensation nuclei.
So, and explain that. What is that?
Well, typically when the sun hits the ocean, you'll get evaporation. And when water molecules evaporate, they will eventually combine with each other, condense, form a cloud, and then eventually rain.
They come back down again.
Okay. They come back down again. When you introduce these fine metal particulates, again, they act as what's called cloud condensation nuclei. So instead of the water combining with other water molecules, they combine with these metal particulates and they drift. So one of the main reasons we're seeing intense drought here in California is because the rain that we're supposed to be getting in California is actually drifting over the continental divide. That rain eventually has to fall somewhere, and it does in massive quantities. And that's why we're getting flooding, major floods in the Midwest and in the East Coast. So what we're seeing this summer, George, and this is really what our film is about, and it ties in the financial benefits and the corporate benefits to these programs. We haven't seen too many trails over the land here in California, and I've been getting emails, and a lot of people have been telling me the trails have stopped. Do you think they've stopped the programs? We have looked at satellites, and literally from the equator all the way up to Alaska, the Pacific is covered with these trails, with these aerosols. And again, what it's preventing is preventing this normal cloud formation. As a result, we are not getting the cloud formation and not getting the rain here in the U.S. I was also in Chicago for about 3 weeks this summer experiencing intense drought in the Midwest. That's where most of our corn is growing. And when rain was in the forecast, of course, now I'm looking up at the sky on a regular basis, we'd see these big, beautiful thunderheads building, these big, beautiful clouds, and then we'd see the planes flying over.
And then it didn't rain.
Well, it wouldn't rain because they were seeding the clouds, and these clouds, beautiful clouds, would collapse, and they would look like some sort of smoky, you know, mess, and they would drift, and you're right, it wouldn't rain. This is without question an engineered drought, and people are making billions of dollars because of this, and it's time for people to start looking into this issue, because when they find out, this affects everybody, not only, you know, at the very least, it affects us in our pocketbook. Food prices are going to be going through the roof. And again, it's all part of an agenda, which we'll get into tonight.
See, I happen to think this planet, Michael, is alive and it takes care of itself. You know, what kind of a planet, how incredible design this might be, where every living creature needs to exist on rain or water, and this planet rains on it, right? On the grass, on trees, in the forests, on us. Because we need it. Without it, we would not survive. To me, there's a genius design there. If people are manipulating that and trying to alter it, it could spell a disaster, couldn't it?
Well, it is a disaster. And as we'll talk about tonight, the corporations behind this are disaster capitalists. So what really kind of gave me the epiphany, I spend a lot of time in Maui, and I live on an organic farm, and we grow a lot of our own food, and it kind of connected me to the fact that, you know, natural systems, what our creator had created, you know, a natural seed is dependent on sunshine and rain. These are natural systems. As a result, if people have these, they have the ability to grow their own food and thus be independent from this corporate system. Through the death and destruction of our soils, which is definitely happening, I'd like to get into more of that tonight, and through the droughts and all of this, farmers do not have the ability to grow natural organic foods. As a result, we have these corporations that come in and they come in with their genetic modification, the solution with these GMO seeds that can grow in this new condition. And what it is, George,
so they will grow in a drought type condition.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to get into that this early, but Monsanto has what's called an abiotic stress-resistant seed. What is abiotic stress? Abiotic stress is everything that the geoengineering creates. It's the heavy metal contamination we now have, which will stress the soil. It's too much rain. We have that in certain areas. It's drought conditions, and it's also fungal overgrowth because these programs actually block our sun, and now we have documentation that proves that we have 20% less sun now reaching the earth than we did just a couple decades ago. We have fungal overgrowth, and this is all devastating to crops. As a matter of fact, the EPA has estimated by the year 2030 we'll have crop loss increased by over 50% by the year 2030 due to abiotic stress. So again, geoengineering creates abiotic stress. Monsanto has the solution to it. So if we link like people like Bill Gates, who is involved with this, Bill Gates, on public record, funds geoengineering research. Geoengineering, without question, destroys farmers' abilities to grow natural organic foods. And the solution then is this new GMO stress-resistant seed. And throughout history, farmers with natural foods have been dependent on natural seeds. And they planted natural seeds, and at the end of the season, they collect a certain percentage of these seeds that they can use for the next growing seeds. Well, a lot of these GMO seeds are what's called terminator seeds.
That's right.
And they will not regenerate. So what happens, the farmer has to go back to these corporations like Monsanto and DuPont year after year.
You got it. That's the whole plan.
It's the whole plan. It's a corporatization of natural systems and literally gives these people godlike power. Geoengineer David Keith made a statement about 2 years ago. He said, geoengineering gives man godlike power. These people are playing God, and they do it through death and destruction of natural systems. Again, they're disaster capitalists. And this affects every living person on the planet. But Monsanto expressed their interest in going into Africa. And geoengineers state that one of the consequences of their programs would be droughts in Africa and Asia. Well, guess what? They're having droughts in Africa and Asia. People are dying as a result of this. But now, again, Monsanto's coming in with the solution to this problem. So either farmers have, you know, they have to, like here in the U.S., many farmers now from this summer have to give up their farms because they've lost their crops.
Well, you know the old saying, create the problem and the solution.
Create the
and
problem.
You come right in. Are you saying that the chemtrails are used specifically for weather modification?
There's no question about it. And we started the film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? You can see the trailer at whyintheworldarethespraying.com by interviewing former 20-year weatherman Scott Stevens. And the trails introduced into our sky, it's really basic science. And what I learned, aluminum oxide is the primary ingredient, which is being found all around the world. And it's very reflective, and geoengineers state that's why they want to put it into our sky, because reflecting it would create a cooler environment here on the Earth. What we've also found out, though, it's a very effective conductor in the sky. And we noticed a day to 72 hours before a storm, we would see intense trailing, planes going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, creating this aerosol canopy that literally completely blocks out the sun. And because it is a conductor, what they have the ability to do through the use of HARP or other technologies, they can heat up this metal particulate. It's real similar, Mark McCandless explained this, to us, like putting coffee in a microwave. You can actually add energy into that coffee. The
That's
molecules
right.
will vibrate. They'll heat up. So what happens, this canopy actually raises. And when the atmosphere raises, it literally creates a low-pressure vacuum. And it enables these corporations to steer storms into certain regions or, in the case of this summer, out of certain regions to create droughts and then, of course, come in and do their disaster capitalist things. But the other part of this is, again, these particulates act as cloud condensation nuclei. So they have the ability, by putting certain aerosols into our sky, to actually build clouds. So sometimes we see spray patterns. And there's short little dashes that we see in the sky. And if you watch them on time lapse, they will actually condense water onto those trails. And those trails turn into clouds, so they have the ability to literally build storms. And through the use of other aerosols and other technologies, such as the HARP technology, they have the ability to destroy storms. So it's very simple science. It's been around for a number of years. Actually, our military has used it for a number of years. It was probably perfected around the time of the Vietnam War when the U.S. military used it in a program called Project Popeye.
And what do they do, create monsoons and things like that?
They can create monsoons. Now we're seeing evidence in a lot of things coming out that they're steering hurricanes into certain regions or out of certain regions. In the Ho Chi Minh Trail and Project Popeye, they actually flooded out the Ho Chi Minh Trail. That was the Vietnamese supply line, and it gave them a battlefield advantage. So that's the whole idea of the military application. And
well, do you remember when the Chinese conducted the Olympics and you know, people were concerned about what's going to happen if it's bad weather? They said, don't worry about the weather. We can control that.
That's right. That's right. And in George, another thing that we found that blew our mind, people may have noticed this, they may have not, but now it's snowed. When we were younger, it snowed right around 32 degrees and below, right?
Right, freezing.
Right. Now what we're seeing is snow in the 40s, sometimes closer to the 50s. And we said, what is going on with
this? See, I always thought it was really cold up there.
Yeah, we thought it was really cold up there, and that's why we're getting these snowflakes. Well, we did a little bit of research in it, and we found a patent owned by NASA, and it's called ice nucleation for weather modification. It was a patent designed to make it snow at degrees above freezing. So now we're, again, around the country, we're wondering why people aren't questioning this. We're seeing snows very close into the 50s, and it's real similar to, well, before I get into that, the Chinese have admitted creating artificial snowstorms. They decided to be quiet about it after they did publicly over $1 billion worth of damage in Beijing. So the Chinese have technology for it. NASA owns a patent for it. Why would we believe that when it's snowing around 50 degrees that this is not natural? We have big, heavy snowflakes coming down that are full of aluminum, full of barium, and the technology is real similar to what we have in our first aid kit. And think about that. Many of us have ice packs that are room temperature until you break it. When you break it, the chemicals mix together and it turns into ice. So
all right, stay with us, Michael. Coming back for more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.